The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Israel Gutierrez, Harry Lyles Jr., Tim Kalishaw, Clayton Yates, Baker Mayfield to the Carolina Panthers for a fifth-round pick. Chet Holmgren to the Hall of Fame after one night of summer league. FanDuel moved his real-time Rookie of the Year tracker up to the favorite after one night. Let's go.
There you go.
It was 5-1, and now he's almost 3-1. Unbelievable what one night does in the summer league. Baker Mayfield has a new home for commercials, Bank of America Stadium. There was a time everyone knew the names of stadiums. No one knows the names of stadiums. Carolina is where he's going, people. Panthers springing at the chance to acquire the former overall number one pick for a conditional fifth-round pick. Panthers QB room now, Sam Darnold, Matt Corral, they just drafted third round, P.J. Walker. Clint Yates around the horn to you. What do the Panthers have with Baker Mayfield? And could this be a jumpstart to a return for grace for Mayfield?
I don't know about a return to greatness, but he certainly gets his dignity back, Baker Mayfield, that is. You can talk about what they gave up in order to get him, but overall, this team is not very good. The receiver core, nothing I'm going to write home about. They were 30th in offensive rating last year. They were 30th in QBR, and I don't even necessarily know if Baker Mayfield walks onto that field and is necessarily the starter because of the injury situation. So overall, I don't think that the Panthers, even if they have an exciting player, are necessarily going to win a ton more games because they have a lot of things to put together. But for Mayfield, a guy who got run out of the rail unfairly from Cleveland, this is about as good as you can get for a landing spot.
In Kalishaw?
You know, it's so hard to know even what to make of Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. So many head coaches, so many coordinators playing through injuries. They went from a passing team to a running team, changing receivers. I think it is good, as Clinton said, to get a fresh start, get a jump start. I don't know if this is a great place for it. Maybe those receivers, especially DJ Moore, are a little better than we think because they haven't really had legit quarterbacks playing with them, but this is a team with a head coach on the hot seat. They're going to have to get some breaks and take advantage of the fact that Atlanta and New Orleans aren't very good in their division either, and maybe they can make some progress and win some games, and he can get himself going again.
Harry Lyles Jr.?
I know that there's a lot of stuff that we could make, you know, what this means for the Panthers, what this means for the Browns. But to me, there is one thing that we cannot deny here, and it is that Baker Mayfield, somebody who is at the very top of the chip on his shoulder Hall of Fame, is going to have a moment possibly of all time to where he can get the ultimate revenge that he is going to want. Because if he is the week one starter in Carolina, he is going to give us moments in trash talk that is going to make us probably forget all about the flag planting at Ohio State, especially considering the Browns are going to be paying a lot of his contract this year. That's the part that I'm looking
for. So you don't think the previous 12 months in some way maybe chastised him a little bit or put him in a place where he's still going to be that guy to you and he's still going to be QB1, week one, you think, for the Panthers? Gutierrez, how about you?
Well, I mean, this fall from grace that we talk about, did he really fall or is he just kind of still hanging out in the shallow end? Because I would say it's the Cleveland Browns that look a lot worse than Baker Mayfield here. Obviously, the quarterback choices to make, the money that decided to give to him and creating an untenable situation for Baker Mayfield. Obviously, he couldn't stick there. And last season, clearly hurt, had the shoulder surgery this offseason, and was trying to tough it out for the betterment of his team. That was a mistake. So if we go back to somewhat healthy Baker Mayfield, the biggest argument against him is, yeah, he didn't get Odell Beckham involved enough, but in his rookie year, he was spectacular. He set rookie records. And so I think this is just a restart, a refresher. And the guy, I know he was number one pick in the draft, but he's chip on the shoulder guy. He needs something to motivate him. This is quite the motivation. So yeah, I think I'm like with Tim, I don't know what to think of Baker Mayfield yet, but I'm not ready to bury him based on his Cleveland tenure. Just
being traded for a conditional fifth-round pick when you were number one overall just a few years ago is a shocker. Yates, I'll give you the last word after the horn.
Just wanted to say, Harry mentioned the fact that they're playing the Browns in week one. I wish this game was in Cleveland. It would be 100% better at that rate.
We'll move on. Wimbledon quarterfinals, American Taylor Fritz. Oh, he had Rafa Nadal right where you would want him until he didn't. Nadal doing enough to survive the fourth set and then did more in the fifth and in the tiebreaker. And he advances to the semis to take on Nick Kyrgios, who had a straight set win today, a nice tiebreak at the end. His first semifinals at a major. Elena Rybakina, Simona Halep, also advancing into the semis. Whose performance today stood out to you, Tim Kalishaw?
I thought for about 4 hours it was going to be Taylor Fritz. I wanted it to be Taylor Fritz, the American male advancing to the semifinals, something we used to expect for many years, something we haven't seen much of the last 20 years. But in the end, it was Nadal, and it's always Nadal. He sees tennis as four-hour battles for survival, and he's playing as strong at the end of those 4 hours as he is, probably better than he was at the beginning. He needed medical help back in the second set, which seems like forever ago. It's just he's this close now to getting a 23rd Grand Slam. I know he's got to play Kyrgios, but he'll win that match, and then we'll see if he plays Djokovic. The numbers are just too staggering and too absurd, and he had a lot of ways to fall to Taylor Fritz today, and he got around all of them.
Nari Lyles Jr.
Yeah, it's Mias and Nadal for the same reason. It looked like Taylor Fritz had that match, and Nadal does what he's done for the last two decades, which was stay in the match, make it a battle of attrition, and ultimately win it. And I think, honestly, the match between him and Nick Kyrgios coming up is going to be really interesting, just because Nick Kyrgios is dangerous when he's actually playing well because of all the other things that he adds to a tennis match. It is a very intimate game, and he creates an environment where it is not just another match. So even beyond Kyrgios and Nadal, seeing if he's going to play against a Novak Djokovic in the final, we're going to be set up for one that's going to be great no matter the result of that match.
Israel Gutierrez, takeaway from today?
I'm just constantly stunned by these tennis players and the way they overcome, like, injuries. That second set injury timeout where he was down and he was talking to his box on the way out, it just seemed like he was done. It seemed like he didn't really have any answers. And then he wins a second set and then is not only still getting to every ball like he normally does, but hitting shots where Taylor Fritz is like, I don't know how he does that. I mean, it's just deep and on the other side of the court, and I cannot get to that even though I'm, you know, long and lanky, can get everywhere myself. So Nadal is ridiculous in his normal self. But to me, I think Nick Kyrgios has been almost more impressive because ever since that sort of break or that whatever you want to call it, dust up with Tsitsipas in the fourth round, it seemed like he just sort of just hunkered down and is just playing good tennis. And when he plays good tennis, he's arguably the most talented player out there. So I got to go with Kyrgios now, even though he didn't have the same level of opponent in the quarterfinal.
And Clinton Yates.
It's got to be Nick Kyrgios for me. This guy comes in unseated. We all know who he is. He's not just battling his opponents and injuries. He's giving it to the British press, which we love in this household because they're all over him about what shoes he's wearing. This guy's been impressive. Reminder, he doesn't even lose five setters, so that's not necessarily a given. If he gets into it with Nadal, I think this guy is playing at a very high level, and I really appreciate the fact that he does not care what anybody thinks about him when he's playing at the top of his game. I love it.
Kalishaw. After the horn.
I did love the humility Kyrgios showed after his match, saying, of course, I don't have a coach. I would never put that on anybody. But to count on him against Nadal, that's just tough. It's going to be crazy Friday, but I can never count on Nick Kyrgios.
One more story here. 23 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists in a 24-minute Summer League debut for number 2 pick Chet Holmgren last night, Oklahoma City. Nobody in the illustrious history of the Summer League has ever had 6 blocks and 4 three-pointers in a game, and Holmgren did that as well. Here's a counterpoint, because of all the high praise, and like I said, FanDuel just ratcheted him up to Rookie of the Year in one night. An NBA assistant, unnamed, told SI's Chris Mannix, not sold on him being a star, can't get by his defender, settled for threes, so thin in hips and legs, I don't think he'll ever fill out. We'll need to make difficult shots because he can't play inside. Long way to go. So point and counterpoint there, Harry Lyles Jr. What did last night have you thinking about Chet Holmgren?
I think he passed the test that he needed to pass. Look, the thing that we've always talked about with Chet over the last handful of years, because we have been talking about him for that long because he is that talented, is his game going to hold up at the next level? It held up in college. It held up, albeit just one summer league game. But that is the question that we have about this kid. And the thing that is important here is, yes, like, you do expect this out of the number two pick, but he also made the summer league players look like summer league players. And to me, that's an important thing. Although, obviously, okay, summer league is not an important or the complete test of this. It is one that he had to pass, and he did.
Is Ruel Gutierrez?
By the way, this is for Clinton. I've never popped my collar before, so.
Welcome to the club, kiddo.
I don't believe that for one second. I know.
I do think he showed an ability to get by defenders. I do think if you look at, obviously, his size, he can shoot, whether it be a fadeaway or make a difficult shot over another big player. This is why he is considered to be special, is because he can make those difficult shots. And you have to be able to see, okay, he didn't play like this in college because he's going to play more like a traditional big. But in the NBA, yes, he can be on the perimeter. Okay. He can pull up off the dribble. And if you've got a slow-footed seven-footer who's defending him, he's not going to be able to keep up with him. So I think it's a great start for him to show off the skills that are unique to him. He's never going to be a big dude that bangs in the paint. So why are we saying that that's a negative right now? We need to talk about what he can do, not what he obviously
Clinton, where do you come down on this point, counterpoint, that he's closer to being rookie of the year, or that he's got some things that are never going to go his way in the ability to get to the basket, as that assistant coach had said?
I'm a little closer to the latter in terms of what his actual physical abilities are, but I was glad to see him being able to move around on an NBA court. But as Izzy has learned today, one of the things that he showcased was some star power. He had a lot to say about what it was he was doing on the court, and I don't necessarily know that I expected that from this kid. He's got KD tweeting at him. If he's got any kind of a presence just as a dude in the league, never mind his ability to play, I think that's a very good thing for him down there in OKC. I'm looking forward to the Slim Towers.
And Tim Kalisha.
I give a big thumbs down to the anonymous scouter, in this case assistant coach, who thinks he's saying strong opinions and won't put his name out. I don't think he's ever going to fill out. He's played one summer league game. You know who hadn't filled out in 13 years? Kevin Durant. We still talk about him. You know who didn't fill out for 20 years? Reggie Miller. We talked a lot about him.
Okay.
I mean, you don't always have to look like every other player. This guy can shoot threes. He's 7 foot, and he blocked 6 shots last night.
You loved him on draft night. You thought Oklahoma City got the best pick.
Bob Ryan and I were driving the bus. Bob was probably driving. I was
Slim Tower over the Slimmer Reaper. Okay. Okay.
No, there's two of them down there in
Oklahoma. Harry, you got to check the tape on playback when you watch the show at some point later. I was this close to saying Harry Styles when I was going to you in that last topic. This one, I just want to adore you, Harry. We'll be back. Buy or sell next.
Nice look, Izzy.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live la vida más fina. Part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Max Scherzer's return to the Mets. Dominant. 11 strikeouts, no walks, 6 innings. That's how you come back. Reds got a run late, though, for a 1-0 loss for New York. They were in first every day he missed, and every day DeGrom's missed. It's amazing. Even while Atlanta was winning 14 straight. Clinton, what are you buying from Scherzer's return?
I'm buying the fact that he did all of this in under 80 pitches, which is important. We remember at the end of last season when he basically said, my arm fell off, so you know that the Mets are trying to figure that out. But overall, this is a problem because, again, the Mets lost this game. I still think the Braves are a better team top to bottom in that division. If you can't pull off a W in a situation like that from a gem from your ace, you got real problems in New York.
Jim Kalishaw?
No, I'm buying that it's a big return, and you would like to win the game, but the Mets, this isn't last year's Mets offense. Last night it looked like it, but they've been okay this year. Certainly Pete Alonso's been okay. They got DeGrom pitching a rehab start later this week. He's going to make it back. They're going to be loaded. They're going to hold off the Braves and continue to do what they do.
Oh, you think they hold off the Braves? I mean, we all talk about the division like it. Everybody's making the playoffs these years anyway. Harry Lyles Jr. on this return for Scherzer.
Yeah, I'm buying that it looked exactly the way that you wanted it to look, partially because of the pitch count like Clinton mentioned, but also because of the control. He faced 21 batters, 17 of them saw first pitch strikes. But to lose an outing like that, you play the Atlanta Braves, this team up 75 down here in Atlanta. You can't be doing that against them in the middle of July. So I think the Braves
listen to you guys with this loss in the middle of July being a portending a failure for the entire season. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to worry, you might as well worry with a 2.5 game lead in the, you know, the early portion of the summer while you're getting your aces back. So, yeah, not only did he pitch great, but he even said in his rehab starts he couldn't really find his slider. He found his slider in the bullpen, and it was great as well. So you might have, like, peak Max Scherzer coming right off the injured list. So, yeah, I'm not worried about the 1-0
moment. 20 games over 500 or wherever it was without Scherzer at DeGrom, and you guys are like, hey, they lost to Cincinnati on a Tuesday afternoon.
The games all count the
same. They all do. Who would you rather be rolling with in the playoffs? So forget winning the division or not. In a one-game wild card or in the playoffs. DeGrom and Scherzer or any other rotation in baseball? That's the question. And I think you would say, Clinton, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, you would want DeGrom and Scherzer, right?
I'm not taking the guy who says his arm falls off in October. How about that?
We'll move on. Buy or sell two, new rule for baseball. Rob Manfred now has the power to add legends to the All-Star game. Tim, I'm assuming that means Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera this year. Are you excited that we could have the Legends edition by Commissioner?
No, I'm not excited about this at all. I thought the fans already voted in the last player in each league, a little special tribute that they make a big deal out of each year. Why do we want to see Albert Pujols hitting 190 stand up there and do whatever he does for one at bat? Cabrera's he's hitting a very soft 300, but he's hitting this year. Pujols has no business being an All-Star game.
Harry Lyles Jr.
Yeah, I understand the spirit of this, but to me, the fans are the ones that the All-Star game is for, and usually these things work themselves out. I think back to 2001 when Cal Ripken Jr. was voted in. Like, that happens organically. This doesn't feel like something that's organic, and so I don't think it's something that Major League Baseball needs to force.
Is Drew Gutierrez?
I'm a little torn on this one because I also think that the baseball fans need a connection point, and maybe the young slugger, they might not have the connection point as they will with somebody like Pujols. You know, in the NBA, they've done it, whether it be with a Magic Johnson, a Kobe, a Dwayne Wade. And so I kind of like the connection point, but I also don't like the idea in baseball you've got to play all these guys. It's difficult enough in that All-Star game. So, yeah, I think for the fans it'd be nice, but I don't think it's necessary.
And Clint Yates.
What's the connection point? He played in Anaheim forever. The game's at Dodger Stadium. He had a cup of coffee with the Dodgers. Not a soul in L.A. is worried about whether or not Albert Pujols shows up in the All-Star game. I'm sorry. I just also think that the substitution thing is a big deal. You already got a billion dudes on the scorecard. There's no way you're going to add 2-3 guys to each roster and still have a remotely cohesive game. I just think this is a bad idea overall.
Wow, Clinton, you always surprised me. I thought, such a baseball purist, you were like, yes, let's send off the legend and stuff.
Bring more young guys up from the game, and then we can start growing this thing.
All right. Buy or sell three, conference realignment. We did a story yesterday about the remaining Pac-12ers thinking maybe combining with the Big 12. There's a story maybe with the ACC. John Canzano reporting Phil Knight wants Oregon in the Big 10. How does Oregon to the Big 10 sound to you? Does it seem like a certainty if Nike wants it?
I don't know if it's a certainty, but it feels like an inevitability at this point because we've lost contain on what actually matters with college sports, and it's all about money at this point. And when it comes to talking about fits with the Big Ten, Oregon has one thing going for them, being an AAU school. that would fit the criteria to them to go to the Big Ten, the same way that people talk about a Stanford or a Washington going. So to me, this is all about the brands, and Oregon is a big college football brand, and because of the football connection here, I think it is an inevitability to
go. So you don't say certainty, but you do say inevitability. It's interesting.
Inevitability. Yeah,
Israel, do you avoid a distinction between there? Is this going to happen?
It feels like it, and it feels like Oregon is just sort of a staple right there. Sorry about this. One of the elites of college football, and they deserve to be wherever these super conferences are going to end up being. Is it going to be the Big Ten? Are they going to find a way to get to the SEC? I don't know. It feels like the Big Ten would be the place to go. And, of course, if Phil Knight wants it, if Nike wants it.
Ron Yates.
I don't think this is a certainty. Oregon is one of those schools that actually made it to the college football playoff from the Pac-12. So it's not exactly the same situation. And overall, I think this is a cutting off your nose to spite your face situation. If you want to make a Super League in college football, make a Super League. You don't have to destroy every conference and every other sport on the way to doing it. If you want to be smart, be smart. Don't just be scared of inevitability. This is chicken S and not chicken salad, in my opinion, from a lot of these schools.
Yates. And Tim Kalisha.
I think Oregon should stay right where they are. They got a better football team than USC most of the time anyway. We don't even need to mention UCLA's football program. The whole thing is insane. It's the willful destruction of college sports, all in pursuit of football dollars. It's awful.
Chicken salad overrated.
Stop it.
I've never had chicken salad. Never. It's the mayonnaise. I don't do mayonnaise. It's nothing. Yeah. Clinton Yates, Harry Lyles Jr. Front row seats for Tim Kalisha, Israel Gutierrez. Showdown next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live la vida más fina. Part of Happy Hour.
Intriguing showdown here for you guys. Jody Allen announcing she's not selling the Seahawks or the Blazers, okay? Two statements, one for each team. Same script, different style. And since I know you guys are fonts of fonts, experts in analysis here, since Dan Gilbert's Comic Sans, questionable font styles there, Tim Kalisha?
No, give me the one on the left, Seattle. It looks like UPI copy. I used to rip off the machine and read, hey, Tom Browning's got a perfect game going. Let's turn it over there. Mm-hmm.
It looks like it came off a printer in 1992. Yeah, if she was selling it, I would go for the Seahawks. They seem more affordable. The other one seems a little bit too out of my price range. Yeah,
maybe. It's a ransom letter is what it looked like, the Seahawks. It is a hostage situation. We'll move on. A billboard outside Fenway Park promoting the Derek Jeter documentary, all right? This is right outside Fenway Park. Is Boston okay, Israel? I mean, is it really going to bring in Bostonians to watch this doc?
No, while I do believe that billboards are an underrated way to advertising, I do believe more Bostonians will cancel their ESPN Plus subscription than tune in to watch that.
I'm not sure any of us need seven episodes on Derek Jeter's career, but in Boston, they're just going to figure out where does 2004 fit in and try to catch a little bit of that. That's it.
Israel Gutierrez, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Well, on my sports bucket list, I think the only one I haven't checked off yet is going to a Wimbledon match. I'd love to go to Wimbledon. And I was following today on Twitter and learned that you can actually camp out the day before and get in a queue to go to Wimbledon the next day. Well, this particular Twitter follower was complaining about the snoring because the tents on both sides. So I'm going to use this opportunity to acknowledge that everybody should sleep with a white noise machine. I mean, anybody who's got issues with snoring partners or any sort of noise outside, just throw on a white noise machine. How can you still complain about snoring in this day and age?
Wimbledon?
Come on, we have the technology.
So white noise? All whites to white noise. There you go. Let's go.